Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, yes, that music can only mean one thing. It is our monthly check-in with Ryan Jenkins, our good friend and the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. He helps us understand what farmers go through and think about the things that affect them, because after all, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have clothes or food. And naked, hungry people is not the America I want to live in. Ryan Jenkins, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. How did you end the year? You've had years in the books. How did it end?
It was all right. I think they'll probably let us do it again this year. So that's always a plus. If the bank will let you go one more time, that's our goal every year. Just hope I can pay the bank off and they'll fund me again for next year. That's kind of the life of the farmer. But, no, it's good. Our cotton crop was, I haven't done all the numbers, but you know, just rough figuring, it's probably the highest yielding crop, cotton crop that I've had, I think.
Ever?
And I can say the same for, I think so.
Wow. Yeah,
if it's not, it would definitely be the second one, but it was a very good cotton year. Peanuts were average to just a little bit above average. Corn was average probably. And then, soybeans were well below average.
Now of course the price you were getting was one of the challenges, but it sounds like you're telling me you had a pretty good cotton picking year.
It was a pretty good cotton picking year. and it was I don't know if you could go back, and I don't even know if we touched on it, but man, harvest season, the weather was basically perfect. It never rained during harvest season. So it's funny that I forgot who I was talking to the other day, but they realized it. They said, man, y'all never had a break, did you? Said, we thought about y'all. You know, usually during harvest season, you get a rainy day here or there or something that kind of breaks it up and gives you a chance to work on your equipment or take a break or come home early or something. And my goodness, we were pretty solid from August till, you know, December. So it was a good season, though. That when it's like that, usually that helps you have a little bit better crops.
Well, and also that's,
every rain event, no matter what the crop is, every rain event hurts your yield and your quality and the amount of money that you make. So
plus, that's the fun time. I mean, the fun time to be busy is at harvest season, right? That's when it's woohoo, you know, because that's money.
Right. Well, and it is. Not necessarily because it's money. It is my favorite time of the year. I like the stress. I like the having something. Every day you know you're going to be on a piece of equipment working versus trying to figure out where I need to go or what I need to do or whatever. That's the one time of the year that's set for you. And if you can be in something, you're in it every single day. So I really enjoy harvest season.
And I will say, as a obviously you and I talk all the time, but as I watch you on Facebook, because you post a lot of photos on Facebook, I think you post the most during harvest or right before. Of course, it makes the crops are pretty and you do them at sunrise or sunset. You know, I mean, how often you post on social media is a reflection of how sort of happy or sad you are. You're very happy at harvest season, which is, you know, because you're doing the thing that you love and you're always taking and sharing it with everybody else and eat more cotton and eat more, or drink, you know, buy more cotton and eat more peanuts and all that. Big announcement that came out this week was that the Trump administration put numbers on the tariff subsidy, I guess we're calling this the program that was designed to take some of the money made by tariffs, which have very much hurt farmers, and then to redistribute them to you on the basis of the fact that, well, you know, your crops have suffered. The ones that I saw didn't have to do with you as much. I saw soybeans at $31 an acre. I saw corn at $44 an acre. What did you get any for other? I mean, did cotton come in? Did you get stuff for the, you know, peanuts? Did you get stuff for those, or are they promising to do stuff for those?
We did. They're on the same list. So peanuts. Gosh, I can't remember. It was $50-something an acre for peanuts, and cotton was actually the second highest on the list, and it was $117 an acre. And it's just, it goes to show all those prices they basically came up with how much they feel like the tariffs have hurt. Now, it sounds like a lot of money probably to people, but it nowhere near makes you whole. You know, I did some quick math, and you know, it takes a scientist, or I don't even know, a mathematician to figure out all this. It's very complicated, but just doing very rough figures, the amount they are going to give us on our cotton, $117 an acre. If you spread that out over my acres or my average yield, that's only about 10 cents a pound. That you would be adding to what you got paid this year. So let me just give you an idea.
Yeah, because like I want to like how much do you get normally per acre, or maybe do it as a per pound you get per, cause, you know, because I want to have a better understanding of how much this is helping you.
Well, let me just tell you. Let's just start here.
Okay.
In May of 2022, which I'll give you, this is an anomaly. But still, in May of 2022, cotton was $1.45 a pound. All right. Today, last week when I sold a bunch of my cotton, I got paid 64 cents a pound.
Oof. Wow. Okay.
So the average price for 2022 that you could get for your cotton was about $1.15 a pound. And the average price in 2025 was about 63 cents a pound. And now remember that the input prices during that time period have gone up.
So the cost of making the good that is only making you half as much has also gone. Okay. But 10 cents, I mean, so 10 cents doesn't anywhere get you back to comparable, but it does. I mean, it's a 15 to 20% bump, right?
Well, here's what it's going to do. We've talked about it many times on here. Farmers are leveraged as far as they can be leveraged. They have nothing left in their bank accounts. Every piece of equipment, every piece of land has a note on it or against it. People, most farmers are in a real bad situation right now as far as that goes. So it's hard for them. We've talked about how. And that's something else. You know, this time of the year, you're getting your operating loan for, I say next year, but now we are in next year. So for 26, you know, in December and January, that's when people, farmers, start getting their operating note for the following year.
Yeah.
So most of them, with the current prices that we have, the current commodity prices and the current input prices, the numbers will not pencil out on paper. The bank's not going to loan you money when your business plan's already says you're going to be losing money.
Loan us money so we can lose it. Yeah, is not probably what the banker wants to hear. Okay.
Right. So it makes it hard. So them coming out with this announcement, even though they're saying we're not going to get the money till the end of February, this gives them a known deal that the bank can possibly lend money against.
Okay.
Yeah, this makes their cash flow look a little bit better. The cash flow projection look a little bit better. That's what the bank's saying.
Okay.
With this, maybe we can cash flow something.
Okay, hang on for just a second. I want to get more into this, but hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fires from John.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, our monthly check-in. First of the year, by the way, Happy New Year, John. All right, John. Happy New Year, Ryan. Sorry.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Okay, so were people before this announcement not getting their bank loans or getting terms that were really adverse? And is this making a difference in that?
I think that it will make a difference. I mean, we've had plenty of meetings. These things don't just happen, by the way. I want your people to know, for those of us that are very involved, you know, there have been probably thousands of meetings across the country with politicians to get to this point where they made this announcement last week. Does that make sense? It doesn't just happen. We're always out there lobbying and advocating, trying to get help, trying to let people know, hey, this is a problem. Hey, the American farmer is in trouble. We're not just whining. I mean, we've had equipment manufacturers up there. They really listen to the bankers. We've sent bankers to Washington. All this doesn't just happen. There has been a ton of work that has gone in by so many people to get to this point where they just made this announcement. And this announcement, like we've said, is not going to make us whole. It's not going to fix the problem or anything else. It is a small Band-Aid to help keep things going.
Well, on a year that looked like it was going to be
thankful for it.
Yeah, on a year that looked like it was going to be terrible and turned out to be sort of acceptable. That's a good note,
right?
And as you say, it's not a super fix. But I was kind of talking over you. Go ahead. What was your other thing you were going to say?
No, that was just it. I mean, we're very thankful for it, but we have to continue working, and we've got to come up with a long term solution. The farmer doesn't want money that way. We want money from the crop that we've grown. We put our work and effort into, and we get paid a fair price for it. But some, you know, the deals with other countries are a lot of times out of our control. So we've got to be able to find markets for our products and get paid a reasonable price for them.
Do you feel at this point, based on everything that's happened, do you feel like the Trump administration, Department of Agriculture, everybody involved in this understands the shape of the problem and is working in the right direction, or do you still think there's a lot of room for improvement on that?
I'm kind of in the middle of that.
I do believe
the people running our country know that agriculture's in a bad place right now. I really do believe that. I do believe it's going to continue to take a lot of work to figure something out to make it where, I mean, you know, sustainability or sustainable is a big buzzword, and mm-hmm. it has been the big buzzword for several years now in farming. Sustainability, sustainability, sustainability. Most of that, when people use that word, they're talking about the environment. They've got to realize that sustainability, if there's not a farmer there, sustainability doesn't matter. The farmer's got to be the thing that's sustainable. The practice has to be sustainable. Then we'll work on these other things. So it's a big machine with a whole lot of moving parts.
Right.
And we're all trying to work as hard as we can and do the best we can. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to make enough money to live, you know, to continue going. And that's where a lot of our time and effort's focused, and especially during this time of year, the end of December, January, February, March, lots of trips. You know, we'll be going to Tallahassee, be going to Washington, lots of trips and meeting with politicians and just kind of tell our story and see where we can get help at.
And, you know, I mean, I think the president will understand this best from a national security point of view. We don't want to become a country that is more dependent. I mean, he already understands the importance of that for non-agricultural sectors. And I would like to believe that he's going to grasp this as an agricultural national defense interest because, you know, we don't want to become dependent on anybody else for our food. That's kind of a key area.
Amen.
And cotton is the same thing, you know, for all the things that produces as well. So this is good. I'm glad. I'm glad that this is making a difference, even if it's not a massive difference. It's something, and that they have finally come through in a way that is definitely benefiting our local farmers. Peanuts at 50 and cotton at 117 an acre. That's good news.
Yeah, it's the best news we've had in the agricultural community in quite a while. So
great.
Everybody's thankful for it.
All right, Ryan, I gotta ask you a non-farming question before. Actually, you always like to end with a farming fact. Let's do that first. You have a farm fact for us this week or this month?
I do, and I think we've talked about it, but I still think it's important to realize what we do. In the 1970s, one American farmer could feed and clothe about 73 people. Today, one American farmer feeds and clothes about 165 people.
Yeah.
So in 50 years, you know, we've gone from 70 to 165.
crop yields up and productivity up, you know, across the board, and which has been going on for, you know, more than 100 years. I mean, the amount of farmers in America in the early 1900s was like a third of the population, and it certainly is not today.
And no, now that's less than 2%.
Right. It's crazy. I mean, it's good, but it's crazy. All right, I got to ask, I have to ask your opinion about something, and I know you'll give me an honest opinion because that's who you are. You went to Auburn?
Oh, yeah.
Big Auburn fan.
No, I didn't. I'm an honorary Auburn
person. I thought you did. Okay, but you're a big Auburn fan. Okay, fair enough.
No.
You know, I'm an adopted Auburn fan. I've taken them on as my you know, my SEC team. I said something horrible on the radio yesterday. I was talking to my dear friend Mike Wood. Well, he's a police officer, and he is a big Alabama fan.
Yeah.
And it was getting ready for the game last night. And I thought I got kind of overwhelmed in a moment of my adoration of Mike because we are good friends and I like him a lot. And just for him and the moment, I did say the horrible words. The initials are RT.
No.
And I said them not sarcastically. I said them sincerely. Okay. Did I do wrong?
Probably so. Yeah. I would never have said that. Matter of fact, I sent somebody a text last night. I said, I guess we won't have to hear that for a few months.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes when you're
I probably wouldn't have said that. I'd have probably just said Happy New Year. I wouldn't have went that far.
Fair enough.
Good Lord.
Okay. All right. I'll take the reprimand.
Holy. I wish you'd have said, are you sitting down before you said all that?
I definitely enjoyed the beatdown they got last night. That's for sure.
That was something else. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest with you.
I'll take the scold. That's why I wanted to ask you, because you know I just you know I'll take correction. I can on occasion.
You know,
Ryan Jenkins.
There's only been one perfect person, Walt Durr,
right.
And I don't think they ever said that. So it's okay.
That's my favorite Ryan Jenkins quote ever. There's only ever been one perfect person, and he didn't say Roll Tide. That's fantastic. Oh, I love you, man. All right, hey, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again in a month. Let me know if anything else changes between now and then, all right?
Y'all too. Thanks for all you do, and I hope everybody has a great and happy and safe New Year.
Absolutely.
I'll see you soon.
War Eagle, sir.
War Eagle.